Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hello, everyone. It is the Final Word Show. Liverpool lost 5-0 to Aston Villa, which is mad because we should be sat here going, oh, my God.
It's right, the boys.
It's right, the lads. yeah, because Paige actually, as you can tell, Ben Kelly is here as well. Ben, you watched it on the telly. We were there. It was mad. It was one of the weirdest games of football ever because from every angle, from the way we had to watch it, the way we supported, the way the team was picked, the way that Villa picked their team, the way that they responded to the game, the way their players celebrated the goals like they just scored in the World Cup final. Yeah, doing dance celebrations.
You kidding?
It's like it reminded me of that Michael Owen skills video with Neville Southall when he scores and Neville Southall goes like, well in, he's 13. That's what it did. Yeah, it was a magic.
Yeah, it was. It was really strange. Like even like Sky's coverage sort of told you that even they felt it was insignificant because the programme started about 10 minutes before kickoff.
Oh, really?
And the first shot was like them in the tunnel already. You know what I mean? It was like
Did they have the third team on?
They had Jamie Redknapp on it.
Yeah, their team. Yeah, that was the last time he was on Sky Sports.
I don't know who was presenting it, but yeah, I missed the first couple of minutes because I was going from my house to the pub to watch the game, and it was strange in the sense of Villa started the game really nervously, I thought, and the fans seemed nervous as well. Like you know, for the first 10 minutes in particular, obviously we go forward and we start quite brightly, and Liverpool fans are the ones that are singing and making all the noise, and then obviously they get the goal, Villa, and it's a little bit of a fluke, but you know, from there it seems to settle the nerves and they could kick on.
Yeah, they had a lot to lose, Villa, in that game, really, didn't they?
Yeah, everything.
And that's why I think they started like that. I think Ben's absolutely spot on there, and Liverpool came out like a house on fire, really. You know, they played with the exuberance of youth. It was a term we used last night, and you know, I'm sure I'll try and get a few more of these in throughout the show. But we really did play like that, and you know, we were looking to get the ball to Harvey Elliott, and we were looking to try and create something through him, and he was a massive bright spark. I'm sure we're going to talk about him a lot, but you know, I'm really proud of the players that played last night, and it's a really great experience for them, because Villa Park, first time I've been there, belter stadium.
Yeah, I love that crowd.
Terrible fans.
Yeah, I mean, to be fair to them, like the league game, the atmosphere was incredible. That's the thing about it, made it for a weird game. Like there was only 30,000 in the stadium for the start. Because look,
we had about a tenth of that.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah, it was. It was. I think I wonder whether our entire game plan was set up. And I said this when we were driving down. Do Liverpool go out and do they just knock the ball around and soak it up and play like the main team? Or do you think we've got one opportunity here?
One shot.
Yeah, absolutely. And you just come out swinging. And I think Liverpool did. And I think, Ben, like, Liverpool won the toss and changed ends, kicking towards our fans and everything. It was all geared up for, they know. It was a bit like the reverse of this, but like the Rocky Balboa one where he does his comeback prior to Creed and all that, where he goes, you can't last, so we're just going to make you a really heavy hitter. With this, it's like, you know Liverpool are going to get creamed over 90 minutes.
Yeah.
The only chance you've got is before they figure out what the hell you're doing or who you are or what you're playing, is to try and land it, try and nick a goal or whatever. And that fit with 13 minutes of fun up until the point where Herbie Kane handballs it.
Yeah, there was 13 minutes of me sat in the pub going, maybe I should have gone. Because imagine if we win. Because obviously Kane has the chance on the left-hand side, and Harvey Elliott, I'm sure we'll discuss him in more detail, was like, you know, he creates a couple of opportunities. He has that flash in the pan shot that the keeper actually made two or three really good saves. Yeah. Which on another night, we could have ended up with a couple of goals, to be honest.
Yeah.
But yeah, you know, and that's the thing, and that's what I mean. You know, if you go out and you have a go and you play without fear, you know, you might have found yourself. And that's all I wanted really for at any point in the evening, just a goal. I think we had a chance dead late on, and it was obviously 4-0 at that point, and I've still found myself going, oh, you know, like as if it was 0-0, because all I wanted was to, like, obviously
one
they've
goal
got
would
loads
have been
to
a
be,
win.
They've got loads to be proud about, but just to have something to show for it in terms of a goal would have been the icing on the cake, really. But you know, it wasn't to be.
Yeah, I mean, it was that first 13 minutes, Chris. I thought they were just brilliant, and we talked about it in the day. We talked to Jack about it and how there were no team leaks from Liverpool, you know, and he come pretty close in his prediction for it. So they'd have had a reasonable idea of what it was going to be, yeah, of course. But that was all part and parcel of it. It was all geared towards being as much of a surprise for them as possible, and they were. You know, Harvey Elliott was a bundle of energy down the right, Keanu Hoover as well, Herbie Kane, Isaac Christie Davies getting into the box. He has a decent effort as well. And it looked for a bit of shock and awe. And I'll be honest, same with Ben. There was a point after 5 minutes when I was thinking, oh my God, this is possible. This is absolutely possible. And, you know, the lads deserve huge credit for creating that environment.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, look, I'm not taking anything away, but I said last night on the player rating show, I also feel there was a little bit of villain stepping into the unknown and not trying to overcommit and stuff like that, and just playing it a little bit safe in those first few minutes because they didn't know what type of players they were coming up against. They probably didn't know whether the lads were fast, whether they were strong, how they were going to try and attack them and stuff like that. So it felt like they just stepped off a little bit, gave us the ball, worked out whether Longstaff was quick and decided, okay, we're just going to press him and see how he deals with that. Then they had a little bit of a struggle, but you can't take anything away from Liverpool in that first 15 minutes because they still got the ball at the feet. They're still trying to press them, Aston Villa, and they're not able to get it. And we're working opportunities, and we're working Harvey Elliott into space, and we're hoping for something to come from him and stuff. So really good. I mean, you know, even the fact that we're able to get our fullbacks down the wing, you know, Keanu Hoover overlapping Harvey Elliott and causing them issues there and stuff, just brilliant. Yeah. Just you know that there's going to be a few of those lads there who are going to go on and have professional careers.
Even because it went 2-0 quite quickly, didn't it, after the first one? But even at 2-0, because there was a big gap between the second and third, we looked so dangerous around that right hand side, and it was down to Harvey Elliott, to be fair. But as you know, as you rightly say there, the ability of Hoover to get beyond Elliott at times and overlap, I think. That's a really dangerous combination, actually, that we might see a little bit more between now and the end. You know, I don't know what the FA Cup run's going to be like, you know, and we'll see how many league games are available at the end of the season, potentially. But, you know, those guys, they seem to be head and shoulders above the rest of that team.
Yeah.
You know, and I think in particular, Elliott, you know, he's very easy on the eye, isn't he? But we really did cause them problems, and there were periods in that game down that side where it didn't look. You kind of forget at times that they are who they are.
They look like senior players.
Yeah,
and the kids, you know, the very young lads, very very early in their careers. I mean, you know, Keanu Hoover's, are they both 17?
No, maybe Harvey Elliott's still 16. I mean, you look at our front line. I think I'm right in saying Harvey Elliott was 16.
He's doing his Christmas play, wouldn't he?
Christmas.
No,
quizzes.
I think it's Christmas jumper day today for them, to be honest, Paul.
he's shepherd number three in the nativity.
He'll be wanting fucking number one after last night's performance, to be fair to him. No, look, Harvey Elliott's 16, I think Longstaff is 17, I think Hill's 18, so the average age of our front three is 17 years old last night going against men, you know what I mean? And Harvey Elliott caused them issues, and he seems to have that ability to have time and space on the ball, and, you know, there was times when Pedro Quiroga had time and space in the middle of the park, and I felt like, oh, he was dawdling on it. I didn't feel like that when Harvey Elliott was on the ball. I was like, he's waiting for something here. You can understand, you know, he's waiting for a run or something like that. And the ability to, like, flick that little ball over to, I think it's Kane, through two men and stuff like that, and we get a shot off. Just fantastic.
It's a level of maturity that I think shone through, particularly in that team, but is definitely unusual for a 16-year-old. He just sees things that other people don't. He just sees the bigger picture on the pitch. It's like sometimes he's watching from the camera angle, you know, because to see that ball and be able to execute it, that's great.
There's a temptation with this to just literally just do a show on Harvey Elliott, and every time we see him play, I feel like that. No, absolutely that, and that's the thing. It's impossible not to. I can't help but think the more I watch him, I think back to the first time I watched Cesc Fabregas play, because he made his debut for Arsenal at 16. I'm thinking he didn't look 16. He looked capable of competing at the highest level.
It's where that Fabregas is the interesting one, because it's where that, like, if you're good enough, you're old enough line came from, isn't it? That's what happened with Cesc Fabregas. Yeah. All of a sudden, it was like, no, it doesn't matter his age because he's good enough.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I remember watching. It was like summer 2004. And I watched Arsenal play the first game of the season, and he started for Arsenal, and just watching him go, he was just pulling the strings, he was brave in possession, he always wanted the ball, he was making things happen, and Elliott's exactly the same, not the same position, not the same player, but I mean, for a 16-year-old to be able to look that good, and he's got a long way to go in his career, and I was saying this about this team last night, there's a chance none of these lads end up playing Premier League football. Because the gap between youth football and Premier League football, and particularly the level Liverpool are now at, is ginormous. It's almost as big as the level between us and fucking that. You know, then that's how hard it is to make that step up. But I look at him and I just think he has the potential to be a generational talent. Like he just looks that good. He's got pace. He's direct. He's cool under possession. He's got a bit of swagger about him, which is very unusual for a young. Yeah, like 2 minutes in, we get a corner and he's G-ing the Liverpool fans up. You'd be like, who the fuck are you, mate? But you're not. You're like, go on, son. Go on, Hav. Yeah, I'll do whatever you ask. You know, which is bizarre. Absolutely bizarre.
He's like quite comfortably less than half our age, and we were about to run into battle for them last night.
We're 20 years older than
I'm 21 years older than the bastard.
Years older, yeah, 22 this year. Next year, the no, he was brilliant. And for me, Ben, it was his ability to pick a killer ball. Mm-hmm. The amount of times that he is just drifts in off that right hand side, and everyone's marked, and he just waves one of his wand feet. And somehow the ball ends up either someone running through, or someone's getting a head on it, or the bit in the box bringing it down. That's the real talent I think that he's got there.
Yeah, as I say, it's being able to spot those balls and having the no fear approach to try it as well. You know, and that's I think what the most impressive thing is. I think, you know, as you say, he's got a bit of swagger. He probably knows he's the best player in that side, so he chooses to play like it, you know. And he's that's the thing that's probably most impressive to the likes of Neil Critchley. I'm sure Klopp was watching over in Qatar. That there's just this like confidence in him that he okay, yeah, I know I'm good enough to play that ball. So what?
It was funny. We were joking. I was joking at half time. I said, "Oh, I bet like Critchley goes in and goes, oh lads, I've got someone on the phone here. Yes, Jurgen." You know, like, oh, Jürgen, yeah, yo, no, that, I'll tell them, Jürgen, I'll pass the message on. And it turns out Jürgen actually did message them. But it was telling, like, the way Elliot comes out the second half, I think he burned himself out a little bit. Like, but he was, the first 10 minutes of the second half, he was doing the Andy Robbo press, where he pressed from, like, one side of the pitch to the other, killed himself. And that was the look of a lad who was like, I know the manager's watching. I know the world's watching, and this is my platform. Everyone else was basically, it's like someone who writes their own play and just casts a load of fucking people around them just so they can go and take to the stage. That's what the game felt like to me. I thought he was great.
Yeah, he really was. And look, for me, you know, not to riff too much on the points that you've already made, but that little pass into the box that he did like three or four times, he's not hitting and hoping. He's not. No. These aren't percentage passes that he's playing here. He's hitting a man, whether it be Herbie Kane's foot or Christy Davies or someone's head at the back stick, picking out Longstaff in the centre. That's class. Yeah. That's absolutely brilliant. And I disagree that he blew himself out first half, because he did that press in the second half about 65 minutes in. From we had the ball in Kiana Hoover had the ball in our corner flag, and he went. Striker, midfielder, thingy, and goalkeeper, and you're like, okay, now you've blown yourself out on 65.
It's mad, actually. I mean, I know Hoover goes off with cramp, doesn't he? Yeah. Which surprised me, because he's one of the more senior players in that side in terms of having experience. But like as you say, Elliot's still doing that press after an hour of, you know, playing against Premier League players as a 16-year-old. You know, I mean, I was 16-year-old less time than you guys were. But I mean, I wasn't like not. nowhere near as fit as I could be potentially be now. As at 16, I was doing bleep tests and stuff. I did GCSEP, but like your body's still developing. Like to be at that level of fitness at 16, when he reaches when you should be reaching your peak levels of fitness at 21, 22. He's going to be a hell of a player.
Elite sports people. Mm. I remember Wayne Rooney's a good example. I think Gerrard had a bit of this as well. Is like, but the Rooney example always stands out to me is Wayne Rooney was as fast as he needed to be in any given situation. He was rage powered, so if he was in a one-on-one, he became strong enough to win the one-on-one that he was in. And I think Elliot's got a little bit of that about him, is that it was his stage. He had to go out there and show that he was the best player on the pitch, because if he doesn't look like the best player on the pitch, then the odds of him getting in the Liverpool team are very, very minimal. Let's talk about Hoover as well, Ben, because that another incredibly composed performance. The pair of them linked up wonderfully. Mm-hmm. I mentioned it on the Player Rating show. The bravery and possession of both of them. They were happy to take a man on. They were happy to receive the ball marked. They were happy to play little tight, playing tight space rondos, getting themselves out of trouble. At no point did you see Keanu Hoover lose his head and just do something rash or stupid or, lump it down the field because he's panicked or whatever. He was always looking for feet.
Yeah, I mean the rise of him is over the last 12 months has been so quick but really good. Obviously, he was great in the MK Dons game as well. Mm-hmm. He will provide Klopp, I think, with a lot of options in the next 2 years or so, because if you do at some point want to move Alexander Arnold into more of a midfield role or an advanced role, suddenly we've got somebody who will provide an option at right back for you, because the way he links up with Elliot and providing he can replicate something similar with Salah or whoever fills up that right wing role over the next few years. Suddenly there, I think you've got a fella good enough to fill in that role, and perhaps that frees up Trent to push further on midfield. And actually, from what I've seen of him so far, I think Alexander Arnold's been brilliant at right back, but in terms of defending, I think he's got the potential to potentially be a better defender than Trent, because I think he's better in one-on-one battles. I think he's got a little bit more of defensive resilience about him. And he's got that attacking threat at times.
The same level of comfort on the ball I think Gomez has got, but I actually feel he's a little bit more comfortable in the other half. It's early doors, of course, to tell that kind of stuff. But if it means that Joe Gomez is able to be utilised at centre half, and we don't have to use Gomez at right back anymore, then again, it might be too soon.
I think he's our backup right back next season.
I think.
Planning for your next trip. Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
I don't think it's too soon. I think he's shown everything that he's a better right-back than Joe Gomez in potential. He'll need some experience to go out there and prove it. But as you said, he's better going forwards than Joe Gomez. He's more comfortable in the opposition half. He's not as good a defender. yet, but he's got the ability to be. He spots danger really well. There's a couple of times when, I think back to, if Joe's got any weaknesses, we saw it a couple of times last season when he was playing centre-half rather than right-back. That ball over his shoulder was always on. They tried it three times against Keanu Hoover, and he dealt with it each time. I think one time it hits off his back, to be fair, like, and it's a little bit lucky. But the other two times, he headed the ball away. He's timed it perfectly. And he's had a couple of men trying to bully him, and he wasn't shaking that responsibility. He wasn't asking for help. And he's a bit of a leader as well. He was talking. Him and Seth Vandenberg was a bit of a leader in that back line as well. And you know, maybe we'll talk about him. But the fact that the two names that you know most are the two lads that are organising it bodes well for the future of them. Yeah.
The player I actually want to talk about is Herbie Kane. You know, he's all over that game. Like, will he be a Liverpool player? My honest thoughts are no. I don't think he will be a Liverpool player from moving forward. But he was brilliant in terms of what he offered to the team. I mean, again, he's one of the, I don't even know how old he is. He looks about 30.
He's 21 or 22. He's so 21, I think.
Yeah, so he's, you know, he was in the bracket of being one of the more experienced lads in the side, and I thought he showed that he was a constant. He was there for everything. You know, he's offering for the ball. He's getting himself into dangerous positions. He has three opportunities.
Three shots, I can remember.
Inside the box. I think he's lacking a little bit of overall quality, Ben, but he...
And hair, yeah.
Well, you know. I was just pleased with his performance all told because, again, that was a game when modern football is won and lost in the midfield. And I think he did himself a load of credit.
He was always an option. He was getting himself into the box. He's one of the bigger lads in the side as well, so he's quite physical. I agree. I mean, he went on loan to Doncaster last season. He did very, very well there. Doncaster are League One side. So, you know, I wonder whether his middle ground, he finds himself in the Championship eventually, because I think I agree. I don't think he's going to cut the mould at Liverpool, just because of the quality of the players we've got in the squad more than anything else. But yeah, no, as I say, he was always an option. I think that's key. You know, when periods where we had the ball for long periods of long periods of time, you know, it was important that everybody made themselves available, because there were stray passes every now and then. You know, it wasn't completely perfect on the ball, but I thought he was one of the better players in possession, as you say, getting into the box as well. He has the chance, doesn't he? Like, I think, is it still at 0-0 where the keeper makes a really good save? You can't ask much more of him in that situation. He works the goalkeeper, he keeps the shot low.
I think he worked the goalkeeper on all of his shots. I don't think he misses one wide at all. Like, you know, there's a header in there as well, a couple of shots, but he works the goalkeeper. I was really intrigued to see Herbie Kane last night, because I started it with this preconception of, oh, he's not very good, he's not going to make it. And by the end of the game, I was like, he's not completely changed my mind on this, but he's got something where he was able to step his ability, or he was able to show more than what I've heard about him and maybe seen over the last couple of years. And he's, I don't know physically where he is, because him and Kiravay has definitely bulked up. Mm-hmm. It looked like he left his coat hanger in his shirt compared to the other lads, because he's just a bit wider than that. I don't know whether, I'm not going anywhere near to say Herbie Kane's overweight, because I don't think you can judge them in a football kit, but he's thick, isn't he? He's just a little bit thicker than the others, and feels a little bit like a throwback midfielder. And you know, you said modern midfielder, and I agree, he played like a modern midfielder, but he looks like a 90s midfielder physically, if you know what I mean. You're not used to seeing...
It's the hair.
Him
and Pedro, I thought were really good in the game. All told, I think again a lot of responsibility placed on those lads' shoulders. And look, if they're in the 20s, if that's right about Kane, actually, I've not followed his career at all. I have followed Pedro Carreras randomly because I interviewed him about 4 years ago when he was very new to the squad, and I thought they held up really well on the night. You know, a couple of mistakes in both of them, but there will be. I don't see a future for them at Liverpool, but I had hope in January they both get good offers from somewhere, because I think that's what that game was. I think it was a combination of the lads who are ready, and they're probably, we actually don't know what time of film and who've got on the plane, but you know, if you told me the Keanu Hoover and Elliot were on the plane to Qatar, I'd be like, yeah, obviously. If you then told me...
Would there be someone else that you'd pick?
I'd probably take Vandenberg just for the experience.
From what I've read this morning, I think Elliott's staying and Hoover is going.
Yeah, I mean, Hoover makes sense because we're a bit lightweight in that. But I mean, this is the point, is that if you told me they were going with the first team, I'd go, that makes sense because they're the lads most ready to go and be in with that squad. Then you've got a clutch of lads too, for whom they're playing for a loan. So you're probably looking at like maybe Kelleher, you're looking at, and then loan/sale, depending, you know, putting themselves in the shop window. So you've got your Herbie Canes and your Pedro Quiroves. And then you've got a bunch of really young lads who it's just a good experience for them. It's too soon to tell where they really are or whatever. And that's how the team was kind of broken down. So I hope they all are able to get something good out of it. The thing about this game ultimately, Chris, is that, you know, football at the top level is defined by small moments and small margins. And the second they got that free kick, I was like...
Was it the handball?
Yeah, it was Herbie Kane handballs it, doesn't he? And I just thought to myself, this is how they're going to score, because that's what happens in these things. All of your spunk and fight, you know, that you've shown so far just gets totally cut out from under you because the big boys teams just score from situations like that. And you know, that's the first goal, comes from a free kick, it's a bit of, it goes straight in, it's one of those mad situations, guy waves a leg at him in front of the goalkeeper, we see them going at all levels.
Yeah, your goalkeeper can't do anything about that because he's got to be reacting to the guy getting a flick on the ball. Yeah. And you know, I'm gutted for Keller, and when I watched it back, as you know, watching it in the ground, you can't see it, but you're like, oh, fucking hell, Keller. But then you're like, hang on a minute, that lad's fucking so close to getting the ball. In fact, there's another one in the second half where they have a free kick and they whip it in, and it almost the same thing happens, but he holds his ground this time and just catches the ball.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you're like, that's why, you know, he's learned from it same game, which is great to see. But Liverpool's goals that we conceded were all just a little bit like that.
I mean, that second one, that's the heartbreak, because you can deal with one, you think, how do you respond to that? To stick a cross in, for it to come off the lads and loop perfectly into the far corner, completely unsavable. I mean, you put Alisson's not saving that, no. You know. And the these kids are 2-0 down, and it's game over at that
The disappointing
point.
Thing is, Paul, that the shoulders slumped when that one went in because it was a proper blow.
Yeah.
Because it's so unlucky. And you watch the highlights back and they always go, oh.
Yeah.
And you're like, there's no coming back from that now.
And the thing is, again, I think the third, they're actually a bit unlucky with the third. It's another one where someone puts a foot in and it just breaks.
Hoover and then set.
And the fourth one is just, that. It's probably one of Villa's, it's a well-worked goal, but that it was, you could see they were toiling a bit at that point. They really needed half-time. And not like, you know, you think there's a good staging area for a fight back at 3-0 or whatever, but it would have just been something, just get to half time at 3-0 and you can think, well, we can maybe give them a bloody nose. But the second the fourth goal goes in, it's a dead rubber, and you can see lots of people got off and all that. It was a real shame.
One thing that I can't imagine many people are talking about, it, but something that I really liked, Pedro Quiroves was on corners, wasn't he?
Yeah.
And we're 2-0 down and he hits that routine corner to Keanu Hoover. Perfect time for something like that. You know what I mean? You're 2-0 down. You're just trying to get something in there rather than that hit and hope into the box where Seth Vandenberg was maybe the only lad who was
taller than any
of their players.
Yeah.
Just work something off the training ground and try and get a little bit of something. Like, and Keanu Hoover's shot's really good, actually, and causes a little bit of mayhem in the box because of it. Yeah. I thought that was really intelligent from Pedro Quiroves to do that at that time. Like,
I think, just to go back to your earlier point, Paul, there was 20 minutes between the second and third goal. And obviously 3 minutes between the first and the second. The second goal went in, and I kind of went, ooh, like you begin to fear at that point that it, you know, really, really could. But I think actually the response to the second goal, you know, I know they slumped a little bit, but the response to the second goal in general was okay because they kind of then weathered the spot. That could have been 3, that could have been 4-0 before the half hour mark if it had gotten really bad. But you know, they ride the storm a little bit, and obviously, you know, it doesn't sound as if they do because they end up 4-0 down by half time nevertheless. But I think to sort of like maintain composure after the, okay, we've conceded 2, you know, daft, you know, unlucky goals, to carry on from there, I thought was possibly one of the biggest positives from the night, bizarrely.
Yeah, absolutely. It does make you wonder a little bit what could have happened if we just had a couple more lads, you know what I mean?
Klopp probably doesn't want to know. He probably didn't want 2 extra games.
No, absolutely. But definitely. But I looked at that team and I just thought, if you put Curtis Jones and Brewster into that team and maybe Nico Williams, do you just get would that have been enough to give it a, to give them a little bit more? It's a little bit more quality, because ultimately all of our quality was on the pitch was restricted to Keanu Hoover and Elias down that side. They're the two lads who looked capable. They look at they played at Villa. You think good senior professionals. Do feel it's a bit disappointing, but the highlights, Chris. I had a really good time. It was a good sing song. We got a good few bouts of fuck the Tories of when Boris Johnson dies.
That was great.
And your personal favourite?
Honestly, mate, just singing to the Villa fans when they walk out the door, and it's 4-0 to us, and to them, apologies, and we're just giving it the bifters because they're the ones walking out, was just fantastic.
Yeah, singing Show Them the Way to Go Home was just. I love it. There was a great sense of humour from the crowd all game long, by and large. Everyone kind of turned up, had a laugh, knew what they were watching. Mm. The players give it the biff, the fans give it plenty. Yeah, it was a great experience. And it's a shame, but I think ultimately it's a good experience for the lads who were on the pitch. I thought it was nice that they took a load of the lower youth levels and they were in the stands as well watching it. So there's just one of those things there where you've got, your Ellington Hoovers, I think, will go on and have really good careers. You've got your lads who will go on and have careers at various levels of the game. And then beneath that, you've then got like the under-16s, under-15s or whatever watching in the stands. You'll be looking at that going, I can be those lads. Shouldn't be underestimated. That they've just played a senior professional game of football for Liverpool in one of the major
in a fucking quarter-final of the cup competition.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
It's ridiculous, isn't it?
Really? No, it is. It's ridiculous, but it's great that, it's one of those things that if we can spin it to a positive, it might not be a positive we see this season, but it might be a positive that we reap as it progresses. But yeah, there we go. That is Liverpool. Aston Villa in the Carabao Cup, 5-0. What a mad day. Thanks very much, Jed. Thank you very much for watching, for listening and for subscribing. The lads are over in Qatar. They'll be doing some more content around that. And we'll be back tomorrow.
Yeah.
For another Final Word show. Yeah. Never stops. It's mad. but yeah, we'll see it all there. Ta-da.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.